In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I'll always remember my first New York City Pride. It was 1994, 28 years ago. Michael and I had just moved to Manhattan after living in Los Angeles for a year. We were both starting new jobs in the city, and it was an exciting time for us. Now, 1994 was also a special year for the LGBTQ community. It was Stonewall 25. I don't know, do any of you remember Stonewall 25?
No.
It was Stonewall 25, the 25th anniversary of the Stonewall Rights. As some of you may recall, Stonewall 25 featured a mile-long rainbow flag that was carried all the way from the United Nations to Central Park. Now, to put things into context, this year is technically Stonewall 53. Yeah, 53, so where does the time go? Anyway, one thing that really stood out for me at the 1994 march was the presence of anti-LGBTQ Christian protesters. Many of them carried large signs with biblical verses on them. And these citations to the Bible included references to how allegedly God hated gay people, as well as warnings on how we would be destroyed, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, unless we repented. I remember asking myself how people who supposedly believed in a faith tradition grounded in love could be so unloving. The protesters' hatred of LGBTQ people was so strong that they were literally praying for God's wrath to rain down from the sky and to destroy us. I wish I had known about today's gospel passage on that day 28 years ago. In today's gospel passage, Jesus actually rebuked his disciples who wanted God to send down fire from the heavens in order to consume their enemies. Let's take a closer look at the gospel text. Jesus and his disciples were traveling to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples went ahead to Samaria to prepare the way for Jesus. Instead of being welcomed by the Samaritans, however, they were rejected. Now, this was not terribly surprising because the Samaritans and the Jews hated each other. As some of you know, others may not. But each saw the other group as terrorists. Now, the Samaritans had their temple on Mount Gerizim, and the Jews had their temple in Jerusalem. And in fact, the hatred between the two groups was so strong that sometimes Jews who were traveling from Galilee up north down to Jerusalem would go out of their way to go around Samaria. Samaria was right in the middle, right? So they'd actually just go through. They would go around just so they would not have to deal with the Samaritan people. And this is why Jesus was terrible to the Good Samaritan. It's so shocking. Right? You see a Good Samaritan, you hear Samaritan say, oh, they're good people. But you know, the Samaritan was almost never the good guy. Well, notwithstanding the difference between the two groups, Jesus' disciples, James and John, were still very upset by this rejection. Right? They went all the way there, went through there, and the Samaritans rejected them. So much so that they asked Jesus if they could command fire to come down from heaven and consume the Samaritans. Now mind you, this is basically what the anti-LGBTQ protesters were praying for during the Stonewall 25 Pride March. The Greek word used to describe what James and John were hoping would happen to the Samaritans, analogo, is actually a very harsh word. Analogo means to consume or to devour something so completely that it is utterly destroyed, basically wiped off the face of the earth. Now, James and John's request was an allusion to the book of 2 Kings, and that chapter derived it, we hear about in today's first reading, asked God to send down fire from the heavens. And God doesn't cast in fire from the heavens, but he sends 102 officers and soldiers to the evil king Ahaziah. So maybe too much information for you, but just know that there is nothing that but what we find in the scholar Jesus' response to the request of James and John. Well, Jesus turns and rebukes James and John. Right? In fact, some older manuscripts of the Bible include an additional saying by Jesus, which I really love. The additional saying is, the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. You say that again. The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Now, I'm not sure how many fire, wisdom, anti-LGBTQ preachers have bothered to pay attention to this passage in Luke's Gospel. And maybe if they were paying attention, they wouldn't care anyway. But Jesus clearly did not want his disciples asking for fire to come down from the heavens and to wipe out their enemies. Now, I suspect that most of us would like to identify with the calm and level-headed Jesus in today's gospel passage, as opposed to the rash and hot-headed James and John. But if we're honest with ourselves, there are times in our lives when we are so enraged that we might pray for divine punishment or retribution on our own enemies. Am I right?
Yes.
And to be honest, I felt a lot like James and John over the past few days in response to the two recent U.S. Supreme Court rulings on gun control and reproductive health. I rarely felt such a mix of rage, fear, and helplessness. Perhaps some of you might be feeling the same way as well. First, the Bruin case. In this case, which was decided only 3 days ago, the Supreme Court struck down a 111-year-old New York State law that placed restrictions on the carry of concealed weapons. Now, this happened less than a week after a gunman opened fire at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Vestavia Hills, Alabama, during a potluck dinner. The gunman killed 3 prisoners at St. Stephen's who were showing him hospitality. And on top of that, I just heard this morning, maybe you did too, about the shooting near a state club in Oslo, Norway, that killed 3 people and actually resulted in the cancellation of Oslo's class. Second, the Dobbs case. In this case, which was decided only 2 days ago, the Supreme Court threw out the 49-year-old precedent of Roe versus Wade. And as a result of the ruling, 22 states will immediately, or almost immediately, pass an effective ban on women's rights to choose. But it doesn't end there. One of the concurring opinions of Dobbs even calls for the reconsideration of the precedents that establish the right to contraception, that is, ritual, to consensual private intimate relationships, that is warning, and to change that narrative, that is overtical. As Jeff Midler wrote on her Twitter feed, get ready, Jane, you're next. And that can be seen just not as a political statement, but as a pastoral, ethical, and educational matter. As our presiding bishop Michael Curry wrote in response to the Bruin case, the Episcopal Church has long advocated for the need for common sense gun violence protection laws in order to save lives. And as the presiding bishop wrote in response to the Dobbs case, the Episcopal Church has long held that access to reproductive health care is an, quote, integral part of a woman's struggle to assert her dignity and worth as a human being. Now, given the intense feelings that some of us may be having about the Bruin and Dobbs cases, today's gospel reading is a kindly cautionary tale about the dangers of wanting to consume, devour, and destroy the other. Many of us, especially those of us who are LGBTQ or from other marginalized communities, have been on the receiving end of this abusive behavior for much of our lives. However, we must remember that, like James and John, we too can be on the receiving end. There is, of course, a place for righteous anger and even rage. Jesus did, after all, overturn the money changers' tables in the temple. And the Stonewall Riot would never have happened if the ad hoc coalition of trans women of color and young people hadn't fought back against the constant raiding of gay bars on that momentous blasphemy in June in 1969. But the corrosive desire to consume, devour, and destroy those who are perceived to be our enemies is a different matter. It can lead not only to the destruction of the others, but also of our own soul. In fact, today's simple reading from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians uses the exact same Greek word, the same Greek word from a gospel reading. Remember, analogo? That appears in Paul's letter to the Galatians as well. It's a warning against destroying our enemies. Paul warns us, if, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. And so my prayer for all of us on this Pride Sunday is to simply acknowledge our feelings, whether of joy, fear, sadness, despair, or rage, and discern how we might channel those feelings into constructive and faithful actions to further the kingdom of God. If you feel called to do so, check out the work of Bishops United Against Gun Violence. Or check out the work of the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice, of which the Episcopal Church is a founding member. Or come to the Pride Reception, sponsored by the Episcopal Diocese of New York, sitting right here. After that, we have no seats. Or perhaps even march with the Diocese of New York. As Cardinal Wolf once said, I cannot prevent anyone from getting angry or mad or frustrated. I can only hope that they'll turn that anger and frustration and madness into something positive. So let us inspire no call for positive transformation on this Pride Sunday. And let us go forth into the world, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.